Excuse me, sir. Would you mind getting out of your train of thought?
Huh? What?
Where's the big idea, sir?
Oh, I'm sorry, officer. I don't understand. I was thinking.
Yeah, your mind was wandering all over the place. May I see your degree, please?
Sure, here.
Take it out of the frame.
Sorry. It's a community college learner's permit.
You need a BA to drive this idea home.
Oh, I must have been lateral thinking and not realized it.
Uh-huh.
See, I had to think fast to get around that mental block back there, and I didn't notice the limits.
This degree's expired. I ought to throw the encyclopedia at you.
Why? Is this a controlled thought zone?
Yes, it is, sir. See the sign?
School. I guess I was letting my thoughts wander all over the avenue of consideration.
Mm-hmm. You almost collided with established dogma back at those presumptions.
I wasn't thinking straight.
I see. Have you been drinking, sir?
A couple of beers, but I'm not illogical.
Well, it should stop your thought process right now, but I'm going to give you a ticket for quick thinking.
That's 3 points off my IQ.
And the fine is a penny for your thoughts.
I'll get back into the flow of normal thought, officer.
Uh-huh. You go straight to your inevitable conclusion. It's foregone. You can't miss it.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes. Yes. Thank you very much, officer.
Okay, off with you. Kids, too damn smart for their own good.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, March 19th, 2007. And you are listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep on Corporate Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. RAND Media is taking a stand for Free Speech Day. And just by listening to this program, you are doing the same thing as well. You can follow up on these and any of these news stories and check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be... Why am I getting all kinds of static? What's going on there? My mic cable is doing weird stuff. Okay. Now, check that out. Now, I lost my flow. I hate that. Don't you just hate that when your flow gets all messed up? I hate that. Well, where was I? I was... RAND Media was taking a stand for free speech, right? That's what we were doing. We were all taking a stand, and then you were taking a stand for free speech. But we got distracted. It's kind of like when you sit down and you want to check your email, but you wind up sitting in front of the computer for like 12 hours. Same sort of thing happened there. But you can follow up on all these news stories by going to my live journal, by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com, which is my... sort of like default website. I've got an RSS, well, it's actually not my default website. Sim is shaking his head right now as we speak. Dark Atlas is actually my website. But if you want to go to my live journal, it's just easy for me to update. And if somebody gave me a better website, somebody gave me one, I'd make a better one. But, you know, I'm not accountable for my own actions. Fuck no, not me. No way. No how. I need to have people do stuff for me. I'm too prima donna to do my own stuff. You know, eventually I'd like to get into doing some coding. Believe it or not, a good buddy of mine, he's trying to turn me on to Python, you know, because apparently you can do a lot of damage with Python. And I'm sure I'm going to get the email box is going to overflow with now with people because I'm talking about Python. But let's see if I can get through the rest of this intro without screwing it up. This is a free podcast. Not a broadcast, but a podcast, which sends little bods. That can be, hey, nice bod. It can be heard on RAND Radio, SRN1, 76 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, W1Mind Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Osprey Radio, Extreme Radio Tampa, Jeeper One Radio, and Risk Radio. So all these people carry the show. Now, we're through the intro. We can get on with the show. So, hello. It's one of those shows. You know, I remember one of those shows where you feel like you haven't talked on the radio in like a million years. It feels like this is my first show back, even though it's only been about 7 days. And generally, that happens because of the events which occur in day-to-day life. It's just amazing the kind of stuff that can occur in my day-to-day life. I don't know why it happens. I don't know why it happens. I don't know how and the what's and the wherefores and the who's it's and whatever, but it seems to happen with me that my life is just chaotic as hell. Other people don't have to worry about this kind of stuff that I have happening to me. Other people don't come up to you and, like, they don't have people asking them to go do speeches in foreign countries and stuff like that. It doesn't happen. Nobody does that. People aren't, you know, the book's coming out and there's a lot of stress and then people are talking about different opportunities and, oh, my God. And tomorrow, as I'm recording this on a Friday, which is really bad form for me. Usually I have the show done quite early. But tomorrow I'm on the eve of St. Patrick's Day, and it just so happens that tomorrow I'm gainfully employed in a function which will involve me working inside of the most popular Irish bar in the Western Canada for St. Patrick's Day, which I'm not really too happy about. I'm not too happy about that. I'm kind of convinced that I'm going to get killed. But we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully it'll be fine. Should be a 40-plus crowd, and if we don't get too many meth heads and shit rats in there, everything should be okay. But that's a personal note. That's what's going on in my life. Because, you know, I got a relationship with you. We've been through a lot together, and sometimes I just need space. You know, you're closing in on me here. I can't breathe. You know, that's just, I can't commit right now to the kind of involvement that you want from me. So let's get into some feedback. Dear Sean, remember back in the day when you presented the question of who's eating all the fucking chocolate? Which is true. I mean, for those of you who don't know who's eating all the chocolate, I mean, if you go into the local supermarket, right, you go to the chocolate section, which they have, which is weird, every single inch of that shelf is accounted for. I mean, they know exactly what's going where. So they got, like, about a meter there of this shelf in a prominent location, which carries cheap chocolate. We're talking like the pot of gold chocolates, you know, and turtles and all that kind of stuff. Now ask yourself, when was the last time you bought a box of chocolates? Huh? When was the last time you bought? Did you buy one last week? Did you buy one last year? How many did you buy? One? Maybe two? For what? For gifts, probably, right? Unless you're a fat pig like me and you want to eat boxes of chocolate, which I can do. But as I go in there and I buy my box of chocolate, I wonder, who's eating all this stuff? Because there can't be that many chocolate-holics out there that would be buying this stuff. So I want to know, since it's, you know, valuable retail space and they want stuff that flies off the shelves, I want to know who's eating all the chocolate. And I got this feedback here. Dear Sean, remember back in the day when you presented the question, who's eating all the fucking chocolate? Well, I have an answer for you. It's me. Well, me and my coworkers. Aha! And visitors and such. I work in a nursing home. Now, that would be a place I don't think I could work, man. Nursing home, old dying people. Wow. Difficult. You know, washing feces off of wrinkled flesh is not my idea of a good time. Mind you, fighting with Irish people is not really a good idea either, so touche, maybe washing feces off might be a better deal. Well, I'm sure there's a lot more rewarding aspects. It's just, it's a job I couldn't do. It's probably because I'm too emotional, too sensitive. You know, like, I'd see the first, you know, old person sitting in a chair, and that'd be it for me, man. I'd just be like, oh my God, I went to a nursing home. True story, segue. I went to a nursing home one time, and there was this big room, and it was this glowing blue glow coming out of this huge room. And this was a high-end one with a big, you know, grandfather clock in the lobby, which I thought was ironic, because why would you be so concerned with time if you're in a nursing home? I mean, it'd be kind of a downer. But anyway, I walked into this room, and all of a sudden, there's this blue glow, and there was a TV which wasn't working, and there was this little tiny woman sitting poltergeist child style in front of, like, this 90-inch screen, blue screen television, trying to figure out, you know, this Star Trek remote that she had. So, you know, I went up there, and I didn't even really know what the hell was going on. It took me, like, 10 minutes to kind of figure out this remote system, which was designed to, like, run your entire house. And I got, you know, the marching band up that she was trying to find. There was some Scottish bagpipes. But when the screen came up, it, of course, wasn't blue anymore, so it was a lot more light coming from the screen. And I realized the room was full of old people parked along the walls waiting for the TV to start working. They're like, yay. When I got the TV working, and it was just like, oh my God, there was like 40 of them in there, and I was so mad. I was like, okay, you mean to tell me that I just wandered in off the street and got these old people's TV working, and there's not a single nurse within this entire facility who got that TV working using this Star Trek remote? Is that what you're trying to feed me right now? I gotta go to my car. So it was very upsetting. I don't think I could work in a nursing home, but this gentleman who eats a lot of chocolate does. After Valentine's Day, stores donate unpurchased boxes of chocolate to our facility. Interesting. Yeah, here's our garbage, give it to the old people. Since most of the residents of our home are diabetic or have some other dietary restrictions, we can't give out these chocolates out to everybody, so the employees end up taking a lot of them home, the chocolates, not the residents, which you'd probably be better off to take the residents home, you might learn something. So there you go, another one of life's little mysteries solved. And that was sent in by Valakai. Well, good for you, Valakai, for working in the nursing home. You are a better man than I. I could not do that. That would suck a lot for me. Dear Sean, the RSS works for me. I've been using, and he gives a link here, as my RSS feed, and I was actually found out that's how I found out your show's back on the air. Anyway, you might want to pass it on to everyone. I imagine it's just a script someone made, and it's been working ever since. Those are the good ones. That was sent in by One Eyed Elf, and it's linked on my live journal now. If you go down on my link side of the page, above where it says my writing and all the other links to all the other sites, you can go on there, and you'll see that there is a spot for RSS feed. And you just click on that, and that you can bookmark it, throw it up in your Firefox browser, or wherever you're going to put it, and then you will never miss another show again. Pass it on. That's actually a very important link to have. That's probably more important to send out than it is the actual show, because this allows you to get new shows. So make sure you show other people where to get it and where to point out. We should actually, we should get the Newsreel site a little bit more. You know, we should put that link up on the Newsreel site. Maybe I could beat someone to make that happen. Of course, who am I going to beat but Sim, my partner in crime? Yes, it's all Sim's idea. I'm merely a trained monkey who has mastered the powers of speech and parroting. And Sumerian is actually a vicious human experimentation animal researcher who's been carefully developing a cover in which to keep his monkey on the air. That's the truth of the situation. Well, Alex Jones believes me, so that's why. You know, I shouldn't rip on Alex. I shouldn't rip on Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a great guy. I think that he's going on this trip right now where he's not believing in the global warming, which I'm not too sure about, because there's a lot of stuff that's happening. Never mind Al Gore. Al Gore, you know, his wife's a Nazi and everything. She was the one who gave us the tipper sticker and all that back in the day. I'm forgotten about all that. But, you know, I mean, regardless, there's some global climate change is going on with the planet. I don't care whose fault it is. The window is broken. If the window's broken, I don't care if it was a bullet, stray ball, or kid with a slingshot. The window's busted. We better do something about it. And if this winds up just being a catalyst to get us to not shit where we eat, hey, I'm down with that. Let's just not wreck the planet anymore, okay? Small blue marble, big black space. Yeah, could be a plan. More feedback. Hello there, Sean. I'm a business management student in Victoria, British Columbia. As well, see the shallowness in those people working in management positions and those teachers of business schools. Ah, yes, yes. A business management student. You are in the heart of darkness, especially in Victoria. My goal, like few other managers, is to change and challenge the way business is run. This is a bad idea. You will take on a huge load. I mean, it's possible. Google did it, right? I mean, they're trying to do the don't be evil thing. I mean, if you were going to go with a paradigm, I would look to Google. But I don't know enough about business to try to fight on that. But I do know that business has evolved due to Darwinian economics. So survival of the fittest is pretty good. Don't let your ideology get you shot, okay? Just a thought. But nonetheless, I want to note that there is a growing concern about the social and moral capital awareness in the business world. Well, as the young people come up and they start to get a little bit more money, that would be cool. And we need more WOGs in the fight here. What we need is leadership. Not leadership in the core political CEO, but in people leading people towards bettering of the human race. I hope that you have not made people flee working undercover. We need it when we need it most. Best of luck, Blackware. Or probably Blackwire is probably how that's pronounced. But anyway, yeah, I mean, if you want to get a job and you want to do, because you got to have a job. You know, you got to work. You got to do the working thing because you got to make money. So if you're going to do that, it's a good reason to work undercover using the patrolling secrets, which is why I made the show. P.S. I love the show. Glad you're back. I'm glad to be back, too. It's been good. The show's been doing all right. I'm getting a lot of decent feedback. People are still saying, love the show. Sim's got some plans to get the site all working. And we got a new guy on board named Ukraine. Or Ukraine. I'm probably saying his name wrong. I don't talk to him often. He's been around for a little bit. And he's doing some amazing work, getting the websites up, doing just amazing stuff. And Sim is, like, just fawning over this guy. So he's really, really doing a massive amount of work. If you're listening to the show right now, bud, thank you very, very much. I know you and I haven't had a lot of contact, but you know what? WOGs are what make Rant Radio work. We are this weird collective of misfits and weirdos with a lot of brain power that just won't go away. And that's the secret to success, is stick around. Persistence is key. And that goes for anyone else who's running little audio shows right now. I'm noticing more and more people are putting up weekly audio broadcasts. That's fantastic. I love that. That's so good. I mean, I might even start featuring other shows that people can go and link to other one-hour download pages so that you can find out about these other sites and stuff like that. Not because, you know, like, well, aren't Sean, aren't you concerned? Aren't you concerned that other people are going to, you'll lose your edge, your competition? This is not competition. No, we are trying to do something here. We're trying to change the way people think about the world so that we can start getting some sanity back into reality. Otherwise, we're all going to wind up with little chips implanted in our brain. I don't know about you, but I say no to Doritos in the mind. That's just me. Now, let's get on to sort yourself out. And this is a good one. You ready for this one here? Now, I'm not going to give this guy's name out. And before I start in with this, okay, this one's a little bit different. Dear Sean, good way to start off any sort yourself out letter. Dear Sean, recently I had a pretty severe emotional breakdown. I've been forced to reevaluate my life, and I'm only 20. It's very common now that young people are having bad cases of the black shakes. They're beginning to realize that life is a pretty scary place, and a lot of the things that we got sold, a lot of things that people have tried to sell us over the years don't have really been working out. So he goes on to say, I'm 20, and I know shit about the world, but I'll be the first one to admit it, so sue me. No, it's not a crime to be young. A lot of people seem to think it is a crime to be young. I'm not one of them, you know, so don't feel bad about that. The problem is thus. After 3 years of martial arts training, which is really, in the grand scheme of things, not a long time. 3 years is, like, martial arts is a lifestyle choice. But anyway, after 3 years of martial arts training, I'm getting very close to achieving my first black belt. Very good. Well done, you. Hard to do. I'm starting to get more responsibilities in the school, teaching my own white belt classes, teaching kids, etc. The emotional breakdown involved a great deal of crying, feeling empty, lost, generally wondering what the hell I'm supposed to do. Fortunately, I was able to get to a place where I could cry myself through the worst of it without freaking out my students, but it was still shitty. Well, you probably just should have left, but I understand they put responsibility on you and yada, yada, yada. I realize most of the problem stems from my lack of ability to really feel anything other than pain, being emo, block, poor me, etc. Seriously, though, I found that I'm only really happy when I train till it hurts or do stupid self-destructive shit. I'm not sure the martial arts are my career path, I'm afraid. I put all this time into becoming a martial arts master just to make my own master happy and not for myself. I really don't do things for myself. I don't feel like I could spare the time from helping everyone else. Could this be the root of the problem? Let me read that sentence again. I really don't do things for myself. I don't feel like I can spare the time from helping anyone else. Could this be the root of the problem? What should I do? And that was sent in by someone who's always vigilant. And you know what? I'm really glad you sent in this letter, because I get letters like this all the time. A lot has to do. You should do a uTorrent search for self-confidence courses, any kind of self-outlook courses. Brian Tracy has a good one. It's a self-confidence course. It's a 6-CD set. Could probably be acquired off of uTorrent. But generally, what's happening here is this is why I made patrolling. I made patrolling for this guy. Your outlook on yourself is very, very important. It's a huge, like, there's all kinds of psychology of the mind based around your own self-image and things of this nature. You got to understand that how you view yourself is very, very important, and has to do with internal and external control, meaning who has internal or external control of your life on this. But there's two ways you can kind of look at your life, and that is either that you have internal control or external control. If you have internal control, that means that you are in control of your life and you're able to make decisions which affect your reality. And then there's external control, where you allow other people to, and other events and things, whatever, television, to control your life. There is a term for this in the psychological circles. It's internal-external logos, I think, or something to that effect. But anyway, the truth of the matter is that the more external control you feel, the less self-image you have. So the more you're influenced by other things, the less your own self-image is worth. This is just like a law of control, okay? You have to be aware of that. So the number one thing you got to do is you need to take some time off. And unless, are you getting paid for this? Are you getting paid for working down there? Because that's your job. Okay, you need to sort of take time off from your job by showing up, doing your job, and leaving. Spend the least amount of time that you can there, do your job, and then go. Being a martial artist is not a career path. I hate to tell you this, but it's not. Yes, there are people, and understand, I like martial arts. Bruce Lee is like a huge hero of mine. Okay, but unless you are Bruce Lee, and you are able to, like, completely, like, change your life and redefine the genre of martial arts, which has pretty much been done, you're really not going to make a big hit in the world in that particular field. Now, some people may say, well, what about mixed martial arts? Listen to me, okay? You need to sit back, and you need to understand what it is that you want to do. You already know what you want to do, man. You already told me there. You just told me the problem. I really don't do things for myself. Problem number one, I don't feel like I'd spare the time from helping everyone else. If you can't help yourself, you sure as shit can't help anyone else. That's a fact. You don't want to wind up being one of these dirty, smelly guys wandering around with a sign saying, save the planet, when the guy can't buy himself a coffee. Okay, we'll work for food. Please save the planet. No, that is not what you want to do. If you want to be a functional WOG, you want to look at some things and think, well, what am I good at? Go take some personality evaluation tests, the kind that you buy in books or acquire, not stuff you do online. We're talking stuff that takes hours and hours and hours. You're going to need to work at this. Look at what you'd be good at. Look at what comes natural to you. If you only, the only thing that you, you're only happy when you train till it hurts. Okay, the reason why you do that is because you have poor self-image. You're worried that you're not doing enough to succeed. You're worried that you're not doing enough. So if you train, that's a methodic thing. It gives you a physical sensation, and you got the endorphins on the road. We got some serious issues here. You need to start from the beginning, take control of your life, use a day timer, and start choosing a path. If you do not have a target, you will not hit it. Okay, so you got to determine a target and then move on that target. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to break down and have a good cry. I like having a good cry every now and again. I'm a big suck. It's true. It's true. Being emotional is not a curse. It is a blessing. It is what they're trying to give robots. So if they're trying to give synthetic things, the emotions that you're trying to repress, there's something wrong there. Okay, so I hope that helps you out, buddy. Do not worry. Watch patrolling again. Listen to what I say. It's there to help you. If you follow those steps, you will find that other things will happen to cascade along. Much like when you sit down on the internet and you want to just check your email, but you wind up getting distracted, and before you know it, you've spent your whole life online. Kind of like what happened to me. Because you got to bear in mind, people seem to think that there's a problem in our society with robots. Not with robots, but there's a problem with our society with emotions being bad. You're not allowed to be emotional. You have to be cold and heartless. And, of course, this is the business world, which has taught us this, as Buddy up top can surely attest to in Victoria. But the truth of the matter is that, you know what? We are changed. Like, the world is a constantly changing place. And don't feel bad if you feel lost in that whole thing. Everybody else feels the same way. Good on you, though. Good on you for at least noticing that there's a problem and realizing that something must be done about it. So, well done, you. Now here's let's get into the news. I got some good news here. We got some crazy news. In robot takeover news sent in by Orpress. Thank you very much. Everyone else sent me this one as well. The robotic age poses an ethical dilemma. An ethical code to prevent humans abusing robots and vice versa is being drawn up by South Korea. The robot's ethics charter will cover standards for users and manufacturers and will be released later in 2007. It's being put together by a 5-member team of experts, including futurists and science fiction writer. The South Korean government has identified robotics as a key economic driver and is pumping millions of dollars into research. Well, yeah, I've been saying that for a while now, that robotics is the future. You want to know how things work? Get into robotics. The government plans to set ethical guidelines concerning the roles and functions of robots, as robots are expected to develop strong intelligence in the near future. The Ministry of Commerce, Industry, and Energy said, you know what? I think I might make that my hot. You know, I mean, it's good to learn stuff. Right now, I'm learning to touch type. It sucks a lot, thanks. But, you know, after I master, 60 words per minute, I think I'm going to pick myself up a set of data hands. Do a Google search for them. They're kind of neat. But after that, I mean, it's good to stay busy. It's good to learn stuff. And if I was going to learn anything, especially Buddy, who's a martial arts guy, hey, you want a direction? You want me to point you in a direction that'll make you a bunch of money at age 20? For the next 5 years, it'll be hard. But I would look at robots. I would look into robotics. Robotics, I think, is going to be a huge field. Huge field. And once again, you either master technology or you will be mastered by it. But on to this ethics thing. South Korea is one of the world's most high-tech societies. Citizens enjoy some of the high-speed broadband connections in the world, have access to advanced mobile technology long before it hits Western markets. Nothing new there. The government is well known for its commitment to future technology. A recent government report forecasts that robots will routinely carry out surgery by 2018. The Ministry of Information and Communication has also predicted that every South Korean household will have a robot between 2015 and 2020. A lot of futuristic kind of vaporware stuff in the future here. It goes on, talks about other things. New guidelines could reflect the three laws of robotics put in forth by author Isaac Asimov in his short runaround in his story Runaround in 1942. The key considerations would include ensuring human control over robots, protecting data acquired by robots, and preventing illegal use. So it's not really a code of ethics of robots. Other bodies are thinking about the robotic future. Last year, a UK government study predicted that in the next 50 years, robots could demand the same rights as human beings. Now, this is an interesting ethical problem. It goes on and talks about more of this. Now, we're assuming, of course, that this isn't just a way to turn robots into another thing that needs to be licensed. You know, and they'll hide it in an ethical argument. Oh, my God, it's so unethical that you're using robots in this fashion. I can't believe you're doing that. You are immoral to use robots, so we want to keep our slave labor. You know, see what I mean? They're going to try to spin it that way. But I don't know. It's hard to talk about robotic ethics and whether or not I agree with robotic ethics. You know, should they have rights? Well, I think we're a little ways from that argument yet. They're still toasters, okay, essentially. And people are like, you know, and I'm going to get the emails now from the hardcore sci-fi crowd. Are going to be like, no, they have life. They deserve more rights than us. Hey, you want to know how I feel about robots? You want to know how I want to utilize them? I think that in the film, the anime, Appleseed, if you haven't seen that, check out the new one, the one that just came out, and how they're utilizing bioroids in society. That's how I think we should be using robots, okay? That's like a really good future plan. But to think that they're human, they're not human. And being human means something, okay? Being human means that, you know, some people say, oh, Sean, are you being a human elitist? I'm not going to get into this argument with people, man. I mean, this is just ridiculous to even consider that robots are people. They're not. You don't feel bad about throwing out your toasters. You shouldn't feel bad for throwing out your robot. Until the robot can start, you know, we don't show any kind of considerations to hire primates. You know, we got Coco the gorilla and animal research going on. Do we ever hear anything about that? No. Nobody gives a shit. So don't start talking to me about robotic rights. I think there's more of this going over. And people talking to me, well, what's the ethical about the treatment of robots? What's our ethical position with that? Well, you know, I hate to say it, but there's probably a lot more going on than just what we're being told here. You want proof of that? I mean, why are we worried about the ethics of robotics when in more robot takeover news sent in by Deprimi, he sent me this thing saying an Israeli defense firm on Thursday unveiled a portable robot billed as being capable of entering most combat zones along and engaging enemies with onboard armory that includes a machine pistol and grenades. The Viper, roughly the size of a small television, which is kind of a weird dynamic because we got televisions fit on our wrist now, was invented as part of Israel's efforts to develop weaponry that could reduce the risks it forces from hand-to-hand fighting against Palestinian or Lebanese Hezbollah guerrillas. The manufacturer, Elbit Systems, said the Viper's small side, dual treads, enable it to move undeterred by stairs, rubble, dark alleys, caves, and narrow tunnels. As well, bomb-sniffing and bomb disposal equipment can be used. Bomb-sniffing and bomb disposal equipment. The Viper can carry an Uzi machine pistol or plant a grenade. The weapons would be aimed using an onboard video camera. So it's not really a robot. It's a remote device, which is fine. I don't have a problem with remote devices, but don't talk to me about robotic ethics when we're using robots to telekill everything in sight. And, oh, right, isn't, who is the company that, like, last week I was talking about had, like, you know, robotic gun turrets that were tracking people at night, and now you're talking to me about the ethics of robotics? I don't know, man. I don't know. I think we're definitely putting the cart before the horse on this one here. I think that we need to realign this and watch what they're doing with this ethics contract. People say they're trying to drop ethics for robots. That sounds like one thing, but I'd like to follow this story a little bit more closely and see what kind of guidelines they put before the UN, just as an idea. Because why not? Why not? Technologies used in weaponry. The tactic of the new in weapon upgrade news sent in by Jari. Check this thing out. The tactical high-energy laser. Tactical high-energy laser. THEL, okay, is a laser developed for military use. It's known as the Nautilus laser system. Now, what this thing does, if you go to this link, you'll see a very interesting video. It costs $3,000 to kill a target with this thing. But what it does, it essentially can shoot down any incoming, any incoming target from artillery. It'll, like, target artillery shells as they fall. They takes a laser and shoots these artillery shells down. They can do it with mortars. They can do it with missiles. They can engage any target, okay, at about a range of about 5 kilometers.
very, very wild stuff. Okay? Can do about 60 shots without reloading, and the probability of kill is nearly 100% at a range of 5 kilometers. So, I mean, it's a pretty wild system where we've got laser defense grids now to go with our robotic rights and our robots that are sniffing people out. Oh, and wait, wait! You know, you log into the show to make sure you get your good cyberpunk stuff. Not a problem. I've got you covered. You think that's not cyberpunk enough for you? Let me get into the brain interface news that got sent to me by Neura. Now, this is all over the planet. Everybody knows about this thing, but let's just cover it for those of you who live under a rock. Based on the latest developments in neurotechnology, Emotive, his name of the company, has developed a new interface for human-computer interaction. Now, I don't think they have. I think they've taken existing technology and they put a new spin on it, but we'll see. Project Epoch is a headset. Epoch, interesting name, is a headset that uses a set of sensors to tune into electric signals naturally produced by the brain to detect player thoughts, feelings, and expressions. Can you say data mining? It connects wirelessly, wireless connection, with all game platforms from consoles to PCs, and any sniper who wants to walk by with antennas and farm your thoughts. Project Epoch now makes it possible for games to be controlled and influenced by the player's mind. What a great idea. Project Epoch and a processing unit, which incorporates a series of detection suites, our expressive suite can identify facial expressions in real time. So you change your face, the facial expressions change. This is a la Snow Crash, what they did he talked about this for coding for facial expressions for avatars. The effective suite measures players' discrete emotional states. The cognitive suite detects players' conscious thoughts. Each of the detection suites in the EDK allows developers to bring players into games in a unique way, enabling a revolutionary gameplay experience. Uh-huh. I see. And it talks about there's three suites they talk about here. There's expressive and cognitive, and then there's one called effective, which a suite monitors emotions. The effective suite, which is a suite of sensors, monitors a player's emotional states in real time. It provides extra dimension to game interaction by allowing the game to respond to the player's emotions. Characters can transform in response to the player's feeling. The experience of playing the Incredible Hulk will never be the same. An effective suite can be used to monitor the player's state of mind to allow developers to tailor difficulty to each situation. Getting very close to BTL here. Now the expressive suite, that's interesting because it talks about your facial expressions, which I could see that. But the cognitive suite reads and interprets players' conscious thoughts and intent. Gamers can manipulate virtual objects by only the power of their thought. For the first time, the fantasy of magic and supernatural power can be experienced. The different detection suites can be combined to achieve even more spectacular gameplay experience. Now, if this is true, if this is not all just hype and spin, if this actually exists and if this is a real thing, okay, then I am like, wow, I'm looking at this going, this could be some scary tech. I'm not usually the first guy to go all Luddite on you. I'm not the first guy to stand back and go, well, you know, I don't like new technology. It sucks and it's horrible, blah, 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 blah. But this one here kind of worries me a little bit. Would I try it? Sure, I'll try it. But I want to be real careful about, I want to be running encryptions and make sure I track my own thoughts and data. That's for sure. Because you could see how this could be used, eh? You install a system of Windows Vista, they have a bunch of stuff in the back end that you don't know about, they start harvesting all this information, and what better way to design campaigns to get you to vote for certain things if they know your thought patterns and how the vast majority responds to various stimuli. This is nothing more than a home MRI kit for data mining. That's exactly what this is, and mark my words, if this is not hype, if this is not some bullshit, you know, sort of thing to try to get some stock money on the go, you could bank that this technology is going to be used in a pretty malicious way to control the general populace. That would be my sort of guideline there. That'd be something that I would want to watch for, because it seems to me there's a lot of stuff going on within the news and within the media that just, you know, you see tech like this, I don't know, I imagine people watching the news. And once they figure out what's going on with that, once they are watching the news, we can see drug companies using their brain monitoring software to make sure that people are taking their medication. Otherwise, they get two pinks and a blue, which is a term up here in Canada for being declared mentally unfit, and you wind up having to be forced onto meds. This is all sounding very paranoid, I'm aware of that, but it's a pretty scary situation, especially with what's going on in pharmafascism. In pharmafascism news, this was sent to me by Lauren Law. The last story was sent in by Nuruk, which I covered that. I did say that. I'm trying to give out credit where I can. In pharmafascism news, sent in by Lore and Law. It's great I'm getting names from people that normally, you know, don't send in stuff, which is good. It's good stuff. The use of drugs to treat hyperactivity in children has soared worldwide, says U.S. researchers. Wow, our kids are all fucked up all of a sudden. How did that happen? Between 1993 and 2003... prescriptions for ADHD medications such as Ritalin has almost tripled. Tripled. Oh, yeah, wow, look how fucked up our kids are. Wow, they never used to be this fucked up. Why are they all messed up now? Global spending on ADHD drugs increased ninefold, with 83% occurring in the United States, a study in Health Affairs reported. Wow, the pharmaceutical companies are loving that. Let's get everybody on drugs. But experts said, although the use of ADHD medications, not drugs, medications, has increased as awareness of the disorder improved. You see that? I love that line. That's just brilliant. And this particular story is out of the BBC. But so the actual sentence here, which is just the money line of the whole article, is, but experts, okay, whoever these experts are, said that although use of ADHD medications, although we're drugging our children, has increased as awareness of this disorder has improved, as we convince more people that, you know, there's a disorder which their children are sick of, and it's not that they're just, both parents are working too much and they're being too much time in front of the television eating crappy food and drinking Coca-Cola, that's not the problem. No. The problem is that they're insane and they need drugs. Yeah. But they're still being underused in the UK. Yeah, we need to get more UK children on drugs. Surveillance society isn't enough. No. We got to dope up the kids, too. Feed them a bunch of drugs. That works. The use of a psychostimulant drugs to treat attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which is a disorder I believe exists, but not in the numbers they're talking about. They're just doping up kids to create, well, pharmacom products. They're creating junkies for a market. First rule of sales, establish need. So they're using these disorders to say that, oh yeah, you need to make sure you keep your kids high. Got to keep your kids high. Never mind Reagan's thing of say no to drugs. We got to keep your kid high. That's the new motto. But anyway, the use of psychostimulant drugs to treat attention deficit hyperactivity disorder in 5 to 19-year-olds was examined in countries across the world. You ready for this one? Between 1993... and 2003, use of ADHD medications increased by 274%. The U.S., Canada, and Australia all had higher than expected use of the drugs. Wow, we did really great this quarter. We did awesome. We got everybody stoned. Country by country analysis showed increase of other countries, including France, Sweden, Korea, and Japan. Hell yeah, we're gonna have junkies around the world. I go high. That'll be awesome. In the UK, the use of the drugs grew by 12.3% between 1999 and 2003, when expenditure grew by 30.8%. Wow, now we're sitting in on the boardroom meeting. Countries with traditionally low and moderate consumption of the drugs. Traditionally low and moderate consumption. I love this. Drugs, medication, and consumers. Jeez, you got all the buzzwords here. We're showing a moderate upswing. That's not bad. That's an upswing, researchers said. Symptoms of ADHD, just so you can do home diagnosis in case you want to get your own kid high, include inattention, hyperactivity, and impulsiveness. Inattention, hyperactivity, and impulsiveness. Those are the big symptoms. So if you're a child, chances are you're inattentive, you're hyperactive, and you're impulsive because you haven't been beaten into submission by the remaining planet of adults and other weirdos and core political misfits. So you know what? Hey, don't worry. We're going to get rid of the pain of the chains that hold you down by doping you up so you can't see them anymore. We're so considerate. In 2000, the National Institute for Clinical Excellence recommended treatment for the most severely affected children. They estimated that around 400,000 under 16-year-olds with ADHD in England and in Wales. 400,000 kids are all got this disease that prior to, you know, the 1980s, nobody knew anything about. Everybody was going along just fine until we decided to create this disease. Monthly prescriptions for Ritalin, the standard treatment, increases from 4,000 in 1994 to 359,000 in 2004. In 10 years. In 10 years, okay, the monthly prescriptions for Ritalin, just in England and Wales, okay, increased from 4,000 in 1994 to 359,000 children getting stoned. Don't worry, the pusher's the doctor, and your supplier's your parents. It's a great gig. Study leader, Professor Richard Schiefer, University of California, Berkeley, said ADHD could become the leading childhood disorder treated with medications across the globe. Oh, man, Pharmacom's loving that guy. Pharmacom is loving Richard. Way to go, Dick. Good plan. Let's get everybody stoned. He added that 1 in 25 children and adolescents in the United States is taking drugs for ADHD. But the findings challenge the assumption the disorder is a U.S. phenomenon. What the hell kind of a statement is that? A U.S. phenomenon. Yes, American children are messed up. No one else is. A U.S. phenomenon. Jesus, these kind of stories make me insane. But Andrea Bilbo, chief executive of ADHD charity, ADISS, ADIS, said, I think the rest of the world is a long way off from catching up with the United States. Yeah, let's hope. Let's hope. Because, you know, they're not as media saturated. They still have family. They still have the ability to let their children run around outside. The outside isn't too toxic. Unless, of course, you live in like Haiti or one of these countries where we're destroying the environment at a rate that makes, you know, the deforestation of Canada look like a cakewalk. But never mind. In the UK, we're still underdiagnosing and underprescribing. So they've got like numbers that they're trying to reach. They've got set market goals for these ADHD drugs. Oh, hell yeah. Get the kids stoned. That's the solution. We'll get them high. And when they develop over time from the age of 5, where they're giving them drugs, they'll develop into adolescents that have a dependency. They will be dependent on drugs. And we'll name disorders. And we'll come up with all kinds of linguistic ninjutsu in order to prove that it's okay as long as the kids pay their subscription to get their monthly dose. This is sick and evil. I cannot believe the way that this is just being accepted across the globe. Or can I? You know, is it really that surprising? Now, when you take this story here and you cross it with the mind control story and the mind reading story from computers and understand that in Korea and in China, they're calling it a condition, why would you create a device when half the world's population is trying to find ways to get kids off the internet? Why would you create a device that makes internet gaming more immersive and more addictive? I'll tell you why. Because you're data mining and you want to be able to control the population. Oh, Sean, that's crazy. I don't know where you're getting this idea from. That's just paranoid. I don't know where you're getting all these thoughts from. I mean, come on now. Who's really going to do that? People who want to be affected. The same people that are rig elections. The same people that have been doing the same tricks all along. That's why you listen to the show. It's because I've been calling it like this for the last, what? How long has it been now? 7 years? Yeah, something to that effect. Guys, you want to watch this thing, you got to try to get off the drugs, especially the stuff that they're handing you from Pharmacom. Holy crap. I mean, that shit. Have you read the side effects of that stuff? You know, you flip through a magazine now, right? It's awesome when you go through the really high-end magazines, because they'll have like, are you sore? Do you feel anxious? Do you feel guilty about being successful? Here, take this drug. And they get a picture of a woman smiling in a long chair on a beach, right? And then the next two pages are micro fine print, you know, the kind where you need a magnifying glass, especially if you're a little bit older. And it lists all of the hideous side effects and problems that could arise from taking this drug. One page for the ad, two pages for the warnings. Okay? Now, let's take something else. Let's take, you know, not that I'm encouraging this, okay? But if people are going to start doing drugs in order to stop themselves from shooting themselves or because they're upset with the universe or whatever. I mean, even alcohol doesn't compare, because we wouldn't want to encourage people to be alcoholics. I mean, I don't know. What have people done in the past? if they're really upset and they hate their lives and they feel that they need help, well, what have they used globally around the world to help them deal with their lives? I can't think of it right now. What drug is readily available, grows naturally on every continent on the planet? That would be handy. You know, if it grew everywhere, that'd be good. And you could make gas and rope out of it and stuff. You know, maybe something you could utilize that's not, you know, insured by Pharmacom. I don't know. I'm sure it'll come to me. But right now, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that would be more preferential for adults to use so that it doesn't cause things like anal seepage. You know, children, I don't know. I'm with Nancy Reagan on this one. Children should not do drugs. Okay, I think you should just say no to drugs until your brain is finished developing. I'm not a doctor. I don't know this stuff for sure, but it just seems to make sense to me. You know, maybe it's not a good idea to keep your kids high their entire childhood so they can remember who you are when they're 21. Just a thought. In Body Bank News, this was sent to me by Madar. Now, we know that China has been selling off the organs of their inmates for quite some time. This is not new. But how about in America? In Columbia, South Carolina? This is terrifying to me. Inmates in South Carolina could soon find that a kidney is worth 180 days. Lawmakers are considering legislation that would let prisoners donate organs or bone marrow in exchange for time off their sentences. A state Senate panel said on Thursday endorsed creating an organ tissue donation program for inmates. But legislators postponed debate on a measure to reduce the sentences of participating prisoners, citing a concern that the federal law may not allow it. Well, those pesky federal laws. I think it's an imperative that we all go out and see what we can do, said the bill's chief sponsor, Democratic Senator Ralph Anderson. I think it's imperative that we all go out and see what we can do. It's kind of a weird, misleading, vague statement is that. I would like to see us get enough donors that people no longer are dying. Well, that's good, right? That's a good spin. You know, you want to make it so people don't die. Who doesn't want people to die? We'll take it from pedophiles. We'll take the organs of pedophiles, because, you know, nobody cares about them anyway, and we'll put the organs in other people. You know. Yeah, I'm in favor of capital punishment. So you'd think, why? What's wrong with this, Sean? I mean, would you rather just kill them and waste the organs? I don't know. This whole thing just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. South Carolina Advocates for Organ Donations said the incentive policy would be the first of its kind in the nation. Wow! It has the virtue of never being tried in this country. But let's see how it's working out in China. Federal laws make it illegal to give organ donors valuable consideration. Lawmakers want to know whether the term could apply to time off prisoner sentences. Because if they do that, then there's no reason why a guy couldn't sell his organs on eBay. Right? That's why you can't sell organs on eBay, is because of this specific reason. We want to make this work. We really do, said Republican Senator John Hawkins. But we want to make sure that no one goes to jail for good intentions. But I want to make sure no one goes to jail for good intentions. Well, isn't that nice of the Republicans to feel that way? I don't know. You look at stuff like that and you go, do you want inmates selling their organs to get out of jail? You know? And if they're long-term inmates, they're lifers, they know they're going to die in prison, so maybe they want to help somebody. Would that encourage people to being more lifers so that we have these nice containment facilities where we keep our organ harvest? Is that where we're going with this? Because you got to look four-quarter game with this sort of stuff. You got to take a look at it and go, where are they going to go? Now, also in mind control news, the brain does register subliminal images even if a person is unaware they have seen them. UK researchers have reported. There was a while there they said subliminal advertising doesn't work. Well, it does work because they play music that it discourages shoplifting, and shoplifting goes through the floor when they do it. This is a measurable experiment. In the research, Incurred Biology suggests subliminal advertising is probably effective. Nobody wants to come out on the page with this. Nobody wants to come out and say subliminal advertising is effective. So the fact that they're even acknowledging that it exists is, like, amazing to me because, well, you know, maybe the core political's got such a hold on, you know, what they're allowed, not allowed to do. It's for the economy, Mr. President. If we don't use mind control techniques on your people, they won't spend money. And then what do we do? Subliminal images
maybe contain, using brain scans, a team of University College London, a team from the University College of London showed people only registered the images if the brain had spare capacity. Interesting. Subliminal images may be contained in other information which people are aware of receiving. The researchers cite example of the film Fight Club, where characters who work in a cinema projectionist inserts a single frame of pornography into 24 frames of a film showing each second. In the movie, those watching are unaware of the split-second shot but feel depressed or aggressive afterwards. Interesting. That's not actually what happened in the film. The terms depressed or aggressive was not actually cited. But this is what they're doing, and they're using MRIs to try to nail this stuff down. Very, very interesting stuff. And again, what happens when we take this story and combine it with the MRI, the handy-dandy MRI interface that now all the kids can use video games with? Hmm? Where's that going to go? More mind control news. This got sent to me by everybody sent me this one. This one is really out to lunch. I mean, it's only in rats. But a single specific memory has been wiped from the brains of rats, leaving other cult recollections intact. So, Harry, everybody here, where... Watch this little red dot. Look right here. I'm going to put on my black sunglasses. The study adds to our understanding of how memories are made and altered in the brain. It could help to relieve sufferers of post-traumatic stress disorder of the fearful memories that disrupt their lives. The results are now published in the Nature of Neuroscience. Yeah, we won't stop war. Fuck that. No, what we're going to do is we're just going to wipe out huge chunks of your mind. The brain secures memories by transferring them from short-term to long-term storage through the process called reconsolidation. It has been shown before that this process can be interrupted with drugs. With drugs. But Joseph Ledoux of the Center for Neuroscience at New York University and his colleagues wanted to know how this specific interface was. Could the transfer of one specific memory be meddled without affecting others? Our concern was, would you do something really massive to their memory network, said Ledoux. Our concern was, would we fuck people's brains up to the point where they can't actually function anymore? Because then we get sued. We don't want that. To find out, they trained rats to fear two different musical tones. Now, this is actually kind of disturbing. By playing them at the same time and giving the rats an electric shock. Nice. You know, it's here for animal experimentation. You know, and look at the good that can come from animal experimentation. We learn how to wipe out our own memories. Then they gave... That's not fair. Animal experimentation does have a place. It's just that we happen to have a couple of psychos doing this. Then they gave the rats a drug known to cause limited amnesia. UO126 is the name of this drug, which is not approved for use in people, so don't go trying to buy it. And reminded the animals, half of which were still under the influence of the drug, of one of their fearful memories by playing just one of the tones. When they tested the rats with both tones days later, the untreated animals were still fearful of both sounds, as if they expected a shock, but those treated with the drug were no longer afraid of the tone, and they had become reminded of under treatment. So they erased the fear of this stuff from the rats. Very, very interesting stuff. So when you look at that and you consider all the stuff, is there a massive interest in the mind these days? Everybody's doing such wonderful things with the mind. I wonder why that is. Why all the brain stuff? Is this just the direction that technology is going? Or is there more to it? I don't know, but you can bet that this is going to be something that we're going to be watching. You want to watch things like that, technology. Another thing you want to watch is where the guns are. Who's got the guns? When Katrina hit in New Orleans, people went door to door taking away people's guns. Who went door to door? The cops? No. Blackwater, a security contractor for Halliburton, went door to door and took away people's guns. So you have private security guards disarming the populace to keep them in their homes and keep them powerless. Now, that if that wasn't disturbing enough, the much maligned defense contractor, Halliburton, who owns Blackwater, this is the Shadowrun news of the day from Wyandi, is moving its corporate headquarters. Halliburton is moving its corporate headquarters from Houston, good American town, to Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. In Saudi Arabia. Great. So our emergency law enforcement personnel, who are privately owned, privately funded, are actually working for the United Arab Emirates in Dubai. Well, I mean, who gives a shit, right? Saudi Arabia owns all of our ports anyway.
Saudi Arabia runs also. We all run on oil. Isn't Blackwater an old Western term for an oil patch that would have bubbled to the surface? Isn't that what Blackwater? I don't know. I'm just guessing. The Eastern Hemisphere is a market more heavily weighted towards oil and exploration and production opportunities, said CEO Dave Lassar at an energy conference in Bahrain. And growing our business here will bring more balance to Halliburton's overall portfolio. The draw is obvious. Dubai's friendly tax laws will add to Halliburton's bottom line. Last year, it earned $2.3 billion in profits. But Senator Patrick Leahy called the company's move corporate greed at its worst. He added it's an insult to the U.S. soldiers and taxpayers who paid the tab for their no-bid contracts and endured their overcharges all these years. At the same time, they'll be avoiding U.S. taxes. I'm sure they won't stop taking on their profits in cold, hard U.S. cash. Fellow Democratic Representative Henry Waxman of California, who chairs the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, which investigated contractor fraud, is planning to hold a hearing. This is a surprising development, he said. I want to understand the ramifications for U.S. taxpayers and national security. The Waxman's committee estimates that Halliburton, once headed by Vice President Dick Cheney, has received contracts valued at an estimated Waxman's committee estimates that Halliburton, once headed by Vice President Dick Cheney, has received contracts valued at an estimated $25.7 billion for work in Iraq. Unbelievable. And now they've pulled up roots and they've gone all corp cop and they're going to hang out in Saudi Arabia. Your daily hack today is a wonderful tool called Pirate Share, sent to me by Vision. Pirate Share is a proxy-protected file hosting service based on 2 years of development and aims to be copyright-free version of services like RapidShare and Mega Upload. Starting in Sweden, all the uploaded files are transferred through a proxy and placed into a hidden FTP servers that are donated and operated by people who frankly don't give a shit about copyrights. On top of that, they're hosted by PRQ iNet, which as you may know, is the home of the Pirates Bay. The combined result is not having to enforce copyright policy and having a place to host and share copyrighted materials with friends. Another benefit of Pirate Share is the fact that they do not have any stupid download limits. No waiting periods, no verification codes, no hourly bandwidth limits, no need for premium accounts, no nothing. Currently, there is a 50 megabyte file size limit and a 30-day inactivity limit. And there's a link to it there on my live journal. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure, or next week rather, to make sure that you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by Wogs Who Care. And if you care, and if you cannot donate, please distribute. Give out this information. Send people you know the link to the RSS feed so that they don't spam people now. That would be bad. But let people know where they can get the show so that we can try to promote, you know, sort of individuality and give people a choice in their media. But if you can donate, please do so by going to Rant Media. Click on the Donate tab on the top right hot link or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 12150C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. If you decide to send cash, make sure you disguise it so it doesn't get ripped off. I do not have any digital baptisms today. I thought I did, but I think I'm going to have some next show. So if you've sent in a request for digital baptism, don't worry. I'm trying to make my way through all the news stories and all email that I get so that I can actually give you a pretty decent show. I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys, everyone who sent me in news stories and their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreal@rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, it's just sort of a hodgepodge of stuff that I've thrown together that's floating around. And I'm going to fade out now with a track from the in honor of the Fight Club thing. This is Your Life by Tyler Durden from the Fight Club soundtrack. And now more than ever, it is super, super relevant. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. We need to get unity and we need to get on board with what we're doing. We need to get directional chaos working for us, not against us. And if we do not turn on ourselves and we do not turn on our fellow man, we will have unity and we will be able to win this war. So until next time, that is what Server said. End of line.
And you open the door and you step inside. We're inside our hearts. Now imagine your pain is a white ball of healing light. That's right. Your pain, the pain itself, is a white ball of healing. healing light? I don't think so. This is your life. Good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this. This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time.